time once again for Dialogue Conspiracy with May Brussel. For the past 14 years, May has been researching and uncovering facts and evidence from between the lines of the news and placing them in a more thorough perspective of how conspiracy, political assassination, and abuses of power affect us all. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KLRB-FM in Carmel, California. And now, May Brussel.
Good evening. This is May Brussel. This is Dialogue Conspiracy number 322, and it's May the 21st, 1978. I announced last week on KLRB that this would probably be my last program in the format the Dialogue Conspiracy has been on the air for the past 7 years. And as Victor Bach said after the show, don't call in and call the house. That for local people, I will be on the talk show that follows Dialogue Conspiracy next week, not this evening, but next week. And we can talk a little bit about that and discuss the reasons that I am going to change the format and go further into it and answer your questions. There's a lot of local people that have been calling me and asking me questions, and I can answer them for you on the air. Some of the reasons that I gave last week for going off the air, I listed it, and you can get a tape cassette of that show. I won't repeat those. But I did say that I would go farther into it this week and explain some of the alternatives and some of the motives for my taking the program off the air at this time. The program, as far as I'm concerned, is getting more heavy every week. The news seems to get more dismal. I talk about the King Alfred plan, the genocide of all blacks, the government intention to induce cancer and other diseases. And recently, just a week or so ago, Zodiac News said that cancer may be one of the big campaign issues of the next presidential election. And I've talked about the CIA foundation, such as the Hughes Medical Institute, the Arleigh Foundation, that are in the process of altering our minds and bodies and into population control. And I've done many programs on Interpol and the links of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis and the Mormon databanks, our Treasury Department, drug traffic, and crimes of the highest order. Now, I have a feeling, as I do this program every week, that as it gets heavier and heavier, that there's many people who just listen to it casually and kind of either erase it or then just turn it off the next moment and get stoned or do some other thing and don't really take it seriously. And it gets a little frustrating, to say the least, the level of awareness of people in this country, the inability to act or to even call a talk show and respond on these things or write to public officials or to get involved in any way. And I personally feel that if people aren't going to use this information, then I can use my time to better advantage, either just dropping it completely or isolating myself and writing some books or getting more active but off the air. I don't think that you can organize political activism on a privately owned radio station. KLRB has never told me, even when the new manager took over, the new owners took over last year, they never told me what to say or what not to say, or that the subject was too heavy or that I was using too many names. In no way did KLRB limit what I wanted to say. I limited by my own what I considered the boundaries of good taste. I never called these people half of the names that I wanted to do, even though I referred to these public officials as actual warm criminals and crooks and murderers. I still think for the attitude I have about them, it's been pretty mild. And I don't think you can use privately owned stations for organizing. I don't think that people like to hear bad news, and the people that like it will subscribe to the tapes. I put out a feeler, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, of people who subscribe to Dialogue Conspiracy every week. They take a half-hour show a week on the sides of a cassette, and it's mailed out every 2 weeks. These people seem to be interested in getting books. They write to me for the list of books, and I've sent them copies of the Ajax File and Lillian Castellano's testimony in Los Angeles about the Robert Kennedy assassination, the Gemstone File, and everything that I have that is available are the books that I suggest. They seem to be getting and reading. And they send me books and send me articles and clippings from all over the country. And the activism, the actual participation or the awareness, seems to be increased among the people who get the tapes. I think partly is that a half hour goes very fast, and it's hard to follow, and some local people tape it for their use, and other people just listen and let it drift. But the people that receive the tapes regularly can play them. They can play them over again. They can send them, copy them for members of Congress,
and confront politicians with them. And I don't think that just hearing it and letting it go so quickly is of much value. I think that it's informative. It raises the level of awareness to a point. But I think it's better to just play these shows over again and concentrate on them. And as the news gets bad, I don't think people like so much bad news on the air. It's like in the play The Wiz, one of the Wicked Witches sings a song, "Nobody Bring Me No Bad News." I find that when the show is lighter, when there is more gossip, actually Dialogue Conspiracy was never light. But as you get into Interpol or talking about Nazis every week or possible Holocaust or the faking the moonshot or taking Adolf Hitler down to Antarctica, and the possibilities of these things happening, kidnapping maybe Lee Harvey Oswald after the arraignment in the Dallas jail and murdering a double. People don't want to think about those things. They don't want to think. They don't have time outside of earning a living and paying taxes and worrying now about property taxes or whatever. People don't like bad news, and the radio, television, media is to entertain. And I think that I no longer can be even as light as I've been before, and I think it's my obligation to privately get out the cassettes in the form of a newsletter, and later I'll tell you about the printed newsletter I'll be getting out. But I think the heavier the shows get, and they do get heavier, and the angrier I get, the more people seem to pull back and disbelieve and giggle and don't want to know about it. That's my own personal feeling. I compare ourselves right now in 1978 to the period that I talked about last week with the Serpent's Egg in Germany. And my doing this 14 or 15 years research is similar to, say, if I were starting in 1926 in Germany, 7 years before things really got bad. And I've been on KLRB here 7 years. And the courts weren't working. There were no jobs and inflation, and there was murder and a lot of indication that Hitler intended to kill not only all Jews, but proceed with a very careful plan that he made out when he was quite young and in the army. And now I've been on the air 7 years, and things are worse. So that progressing Dialogue Conspiracy, say from 1926 to 1936 in Germany, is like 1971 to 78 here. It's difficult for me to accept the fact that people are at least well off enough to maintain more than their minimum need with a high intelligence, and many people with a college education, with the financial means to alter their course, who are watching this country go down the tube a second time around. It's very frustrating for me. And as I say, I either have to get more politically active or just pull away completely. I do want to begin to make the moves to leave the country. I started that in 1970. And if people don't want to involve themselves in activism in some chart or course to take and just want to keep it up in their head as everything sinks in and things get worse, that's for them to do. I really don't enjoy watching all this happen anymore. I have the tape cassettes of almost every program in the past 7 years, and I think I've done as much as one person could possibly do. People were calling me this week, "You can't go off the air. Many people listen to you, and they can't afford the tape cassettes, and they depend upon you for the news." Well, I'm not sure they depend upon me. I think they depend upon Barbara Walters, who makes $1 million a year and disseminates nothing of information, and they depend upon Walter Cronkite and that type of news. And in order for myself not to be angry or not to be depressed, I think that I'm the one that has to decide to call a halt in this format. I can't possibly believe that criminals such as Ed Davis and Evel Young are running for governor of this state. I just can't believe that Yvonne Burke is running for the attorney general when she's on that House Select Committee that's covering up the investigation of the murder of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. Daryl Gates covered up all the evidence of the conspiracy in the Robert Kennedy assassination I mentioned before, is running for public office. I can't believe that these people who destroy evidence, who are part of assassination teams, are in cities campaigning on radio, and the people that take these tapes or listen to me every week don't call them up, don't confront them, don't meet them head on. I mean, there is so much apathy and so much outright stupidity that it's enough to make me personally want to vomit, because when you expend that much energy into something and try to tell people at least where some of the information is of these particular people, their collusion with murders and assassinations and the cover-up, and then they run for office and nobody confronts them. I don't understand why not. Now, I know that 15 people met that ship from Chile that came into San Francisco Harbor this week, and it made the front page of the Chronicle that the torture ship that was used for torture down in Chile was arrived in San Francisco, and 15 people demonstrated. I think that people should have placards around Ed Davis, the former chief of police of Los Angeles, is coming to Monterey Peninsula this next Wednesday for lunch at the Holiday Inn, and I would like to go to the luncheon and type up some sheets and accuse him of his criminal conspiracy section of having CIA men in the coroner's office murdering people and covering it up, not doctors or lawyers, but a person who falsified his information and wasn't really prosecuted for it. And I would like to challenge him about the Lewis Tackwood allegations of the gun from the Los Angeles Police Department being in San Quentin the day George Jackson was killed, or the killing of Judge Haley that involved two officers from the police department outside the courthouse that day when Jonathan Jackson was killed, and the way that Ed Davis covered up the Robert Kennedy assassination. I just can't believe that he can come to town where I've been on the air 7 years and not be confronted by any single person with the information that we've given out and that he's acceptable as a candidate. In 1971, Ed Davis had an article in the Los Angeles Times that people should close their doors, buy police dogs, call us, the police, when available, and pray. It was an article on having private police forces such as Pinkerton's, Burns, and the Wackenut Corporation that is directly linked to Nazis in Brazil and the Nazi organizations. And the article went on to say that America should have walled cities with security around homes and businesses, trained personnel, and so forth. That's Ed Davis in 1971. In 1978, he's saying, when I'm elected governor, we're going to have Southern justice. This is a man from Army counterintelligence, from the FBI, saying that we'll be tougher, we'll have longer prison sentences. And he says in quotes, we'll let the experts determine who is safe to return to society. That means that people that are politically explosive, like Hugo Pinel, will never get parole, that their favorites will get parole, and the political people will be locked up. And I just can't imagine how in the world we can allow these people walking the streets and not be confronted in every city. As I say, I have trouble handling the apathy and the complacency. I will continue to read my papers. I think it's symptomatic of the disease that we suffer from is when Martha Mitchell was injected or locked up. As I said, NBC is going to be a two-hour movie that she was actually kidnapped by the FBI and injected. Nobody questions what was in that fluid when Steve King held her down, or why Herbert Kalmbach, Richard Nixon's attorney, took her to the hospital under an alias and disguised her as his wife. Remember Dita Beard, the secretary for ITT, that was whisked away when a memo was exposed by Jack Anderson and taken to a hospital in Denver? Is she working for the ITT now? Does she have cancer? Is she alive? Is she dead? Nobody cares. We don't care about Patty Hearst. She went back to prison this week. She was kept in a closet for 45 days and given acid and talked to by Donald DeFries, who had been in prison with machine guns around her and guns, and told to stand in front of a camera about 10 days after she was released from this closet, and totally controlled this long period of time in a dark room where these men would go in and have sex with her, and they were giving LSD to her, and kept away from her parents and told they don't care about her, and then told to stand in front of a camera at a bank, and she's put into a prison and treated like an ordinary prisoner. Conrad had a cartoon in the L.A. Times this week with Patty Hearst with her prison number, and it said she had the wrong name. It should have been Smith, C. Arnold Smith, a man that has taken literally millions of dollars of swindle from San Diego banks with links to Don Bowles' exposés, the reporter that was murdered in Arizona. The C. Arnold Smith, Nixon used connections were covered up when Bowles was killed. He's not in prison yet, and many people that took millions of dollars, Bernie Kornfield or Robert Vesco, they're all out. They're talking about a $10,000 bank robbery in San Francisco under mitigating circumstances like that. And we all sit back, and now this CIA agent, the Squeaky Fromm, was kept in Virginia for at least a year at the federal penitentiary. She's being moved to the same prison as Patty Hearst, and Patty's gotten death threats because 4 years after kidnapping the Harrises, are going to have a trial, and she'll be the snitch that she was kidnapped. So the prisoners are saying, you're a snitch, which is the worst thing you could have, or be in prison. So Patty has to stand the pressure of being there with Squeaky Fromm, who's worked with the intelligence community all along, and can be killed right in that prison, which wasn't any different than in public view shooting Lee Harvey Oswald in a Dallas jail. People don't seem to care about these things. The plane crash of Dorothy Hunt, 43 innocent people on board an airplane in Chicago at the height of Watergate. These things are happening, and each one of them, believe me, is going to affect our life in the future. What happens to Patty Hearst, or what happened to Martha Mitchell, or Dita Beard, or Dorothy Hunt, even when they work with the team and the Hearsts have worked with the CIA and mafia and organized crime all their life, it still is an indication or a barometer, just like the killing of William Sullivan or George de Morenchild. It shows you how desperate these people are to kill even those that they know and entrap them. Now, as I say, there's several choices I can take, either to stop completely or to be more active, and I guess that is up to you. I can leave the country and still be active, or I can leave the country and stop totally, and the decision later will be depending on the tapes going out and if people decide to organize. And I have certain ideas that I'll put on this tape if I don't have time right now on the other half of the tape of what I'm going to do. Now, the format of Dialogue Conspiracy is going to be an unusual form. I believe there's a company that's doing a printout up in Oakland now that I just heard about. This is going to be a tape cassette newsletter, starting with a tape cassette, 30 minutes on each side. And the backup will be this show tonight, and then 30 more minutes to those people that already take Dialogue Conspiracy. And if you want it, take it and take the cassettes by mail. Write to me. My address is in the telephone book. Or you can write to KLRB, write to my home address, or I can pick the letters up here, and send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you a list of the past shows with the information about the format. There will be 30 minutes on each side that I will do at home, and it will go out once a week and be given to the tape center here every Friday. I will put on the tape things that I wouldn't do on KLRB, like suggestions for action and organizing and means of expressing yourself, and it will be more informal. And the subscriptions, you can order past shows according to the titles that you want, like people do now, or you can subscribe in advance like other people do, and some people have ordered the tapes already up through next October. It will be off the cuff, it will be more lively, and it will be a chance for me to give suggestions. I will give you addresses to write and who to write to, like Federal Communications. KGO had an announcement. If you have any complaints about the programming, you can write to them, and I'll give you the address of KGO and the station manager, and you can say, how is it that none of this information and selected subjects from Dialogue Conspiracy, past, present, or future, is not allowed on KGO on any of the persons talking, Owen Spann, Ron Owens, Jimmy Eason, and Sonny Buxton. It's a station that allows talk shows, but you can't bring up certain subjects, and you want to know from the Federal Communications why not. I'll give the addresses of radio stations to write to, suggestions of writing letters to the editor. There's one man who subscribes to these tapes, Art Cherry of Palo Alto. Before I ever met him, he wrote one letter to the editor every month and still does in Palo Alto to express his feelings about matters. And one woman did write a letter to the editor about me and my radio programs, but she was referring to KGO. She doesn't even listen, and she's local to KLRB, and she wrote a letter to the editor. But the people that have listened every week for the last 7 years, I'm not aware that they use this information, not even quoting me or naming me, but using this information to express some anger or some outrage of what's going on. As I say, the tapes will cost $3.50 a week, plus 21 cents if you live in California for the postage, or $14 a month for 4 hours of information. Now, as far as the cost goes, I'm not going to be selling tape cassettes as against doing my show on KLRB. I don't make money off of this. I never had money from KLRB. This is a time that I donated as what I considered a public service for 7 years. And the same way with the tapes, the what tapes that go out now. When I'm through with the program, I leave them off and they're duplicated. I don't keep a copy for myself, and I don't even receive a cent from the tape programs. I'm simply a conduit of information coming out with sources of information. And if I can write letters for you to public officials, I do, and I will follow up with information that you need. I have a form here that I'll read to you if I have time, but I'm going to limit my telephone calls and my correspondence and a great deal of my time to people that subscribe to the tape. I got a letter today from Bob Cutler in back upstate New York, and he wrote to me, he's from Massachusetts, rather, and he has questions to ask me. He wanted to come visit me, Beyond Dialogue Conspiracy. He does not subscribe to the tapes, and I don't see any reason to spend any more time with people that are not keeping up with some of the news as it comes down. I think it's very interesting to write an article on the Umbrella Man. He has a good article. It's out now in Gallery Magazine. But I don't think that it's enough to just interest yourself in one weapon that was used to kill John Kennedy. I think the history has to be covered continuously of the past and the present and put these facts, these isolated facts, into their time slots. I'm not the only one who has a version of history. I get a lot of information from Lydia Blades, who's been on the show with me. She continuously studies and reads and turns on new books. We share new information, and we're learning, each of us, every day. And that's what the broadcast should be about. People should be learning something every day, sending me articles, sending me the titles of articles, information, and I relay it back and assimilate it and put it onto the tapes like I do on Dialogue Conspiracy and send it out. Rush Harp wrote me a letter. He's a researcher back east and wanted me to duplicate a certain tape for him. I write back, no. You either invest this time in the information or we cut off communication. I will disseminate what you write and publish, and you must disseminate these facts because we're running out of time to expose these crooks, and a lot of the major witnesses are dying. And I think we have to use a newsletter and a tape cassette newsletter to turn people on to all the various researchers who are doing this work and encourage them to make tapes. And if I disseminate a set a number of tape cassettes around the country, and then these people correspond and in turn make six cassettes, and then they in turn call in people, we will begin to get, and I've already begun to get, a network of information going. I believe that this country was taken over in 1963 when President John Kennedy was killed. Somebody asked me on a talk show recently, who is they? What are they going to do? And I said, they did it already. We've got to undo it. It's like in 1967 when Greece was overthrown. Then they were able to overturn the military dictatorship. It's already happened, and they're cleaning up their act. It isn't something to look forward to. What you're seeing every day in the news is the consequence of these conspiracies. So I'm not a very good businesswoman in this case. As I say, I don't charge. I never charge radio time. I'm not charging for cassettes. But I even thought of some type of an organization, and those of you that take the tapes can talk about it. I was thinking about an organization similar to Weight Watchers. This Jean Nettich started with a group of 10 people in her home and built it up to an organization that she just sold last week for $71 million. She had newspapers and franchises and so forth. So, and I think that maybe we could have an organization where you charge a $10 membership called the World Watchers and not the Weight Watchers. I think we should become the World Watchers and see what's going on in the world that crosses boundaries of Democrat or Republican or peace and freedom or anarchist or whatever it is, just a dropout. I think that no one can afford not to be a world watcher today and see what's going on. And maybe I may see an attorney and get an idea to put this into an organizing form where, like Weight Watchers, you pay $10 to join, and then it's $4 a week, and that $4 would include a tape cassette and a printed news sheet with a summary of what's on the tape and suggestions and a form to fill out with radio talk shows to call, letters to the editor, books to read at the library, and write NBC, CBS, every time they have a show that's a cover-up, write to these magazines and say, why don't you have the original source? We Magazine had an article that Paul Krasner did about me, and they called me today because some minister down in Jacksonville, Florida, one of the towns, and they wrote a letter to the editor saying, oh, these people make a lot of money off this research, and they wanted me, they were going to print the letter, and they wanted me to respond. And my response was that Paul Krasner makes the money from the article. We magazine didn't ask me to write an article for them. They gave him $1,200 to write about me. And something is wrong about that. I mean, at some point, the money invested in newspapers and books and cassettes and postage stamps and disseminating information has to be increased so that we can disseminate this information around. And local people who are involved should start cutting articles for me, taking paper to the recycle place, contributing, indexing books that I have, contributing some energy of themselves into a small meeting, possibly. Say start with 10 people, and then let them in turn have a meeting with 10 people and play the cassettes and talk and invest something of themselves into it. Sometimes people need small group action, and those people that are taking these cassettes can think about it. Do you want to, in your local community, invite 8 or 10 people in and see if they want to join a membership, $10 each, and then get the cassettes and then ask other people and branch out. I think either we have to get active and put our energies at some level besides just listening. It's not enough for me to read every book on the assassinations and conspiracies, get government documents, and keep cross-filing what's happening today. All you have to do is sit down with me in those 10 papers a day, and you know something is happening today. And it isn't good, and across the board, there has to be some people putting themselves in the form, as I say, of letters. There was a trial of that dissident Orlov in Russia, and his wife was complaining. The headlines of the Washington Post and the Los Angeles Times, they searched my body, you know, at this trial, the Russians searched my body. You don't see a headline like that in the San Francisco Chronicle when you go to a trial of the San Quentin Six or Hugo Pinnell or these trials we had in California where we're searched and they go through even into women's vaginas. We don't get headlines here of what goes, the humiliation that goes down in this country. Just when I came to KLRB today, I got a letter from a man who's in Soledad who told me while he was there his daughter died and they said she was cremated. And later they find out that she was put in an ice box, a refrigerator, that his wife can't visit him, that he's shot with Prolaxin and medication till he's like a zombie and can't talk or think and constantly injected like a vegetable, asking me for help. I can say that on KLRB, but that doesn't make the headlines. And I think we should take those stories about the Soviet Union and compare them to some of the information we have here and then ask our local editors or send letters to the editor and say, why do we keep saying this is happening in Russia when it happens in the United States? How dare you suppress it happening in the United States and knowing that we do this here when we blame the Russians for having those kind of monkey trials? I assure you that the trial of Mr. Orlov in the Soviet Union didn't half compare to the trial of Hugo Pinnell out in Soledad in Salinas, California, that I went to in 1972. I bought the entire trial transcript, hoping someday if I sell a book or have the bread to get a new trial for Hugo Pinnell, just on that case alone, that he didn't murder that guard and that they were framing him. I never saw such a monkey trial in my life, such a routing of somebody and locking him up and giving him 15 years on that. Usually killing a guard by a prisoner is even a stiffer penalty, but there was no evidence except that the guard was outside of Hugo's cell and he was supposed to have killed him with a toothbrush through the bars of the cell shortly after he was told that a guard would be murdered and placed there and he would be blamed for it. Well, as I say, we're going to have some choices now. You may write to me and get a list of past shows if you want to read them. You may subscribe to the current shows. You will get them once a week, an hour of hard-hitting information. I hope it will be that. With suggestions. Incidentally, there's a preview coming out this last week. It showed it's a movie coming out on the story We Never Went to the Moon. It's advertised as, would you be shocked to find the greatest moment of recent history may not have happened at all? If you remember Dialogue Conspiracy, I suggested heavily that the moon shot was a hoax, and now there's an entire large movie that you have to be sure and see. Well, for those of you that take the tape, we will continue the next 30 minutes when this evening's program is over with more news. And those of you that want to subscribe, you can do it, and we'll get the news out in that form. Once in a while, I'll come back to KLRB. And for local people, I'll be on next week with Victor Bach. And then after that, it will be through the mail and through the telephone. And take care. This is 7 years as Dialogue Conspiracy ends in this format, but I will be around in a different form, and if you want to contact me, the tapes will be available. This is Mae Brussel, and it's Carmel, California, KLRB.
You've been listening to Dialogue Conspiracy with Mae Brussel.